This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Dan and Amy, pouring over the election results from yesterday, this morning. And before we get to our friend Peter Roscoe, a couple more calls. Steve from Gary.
Yeah, kind of depressed. I live in Indiana, but, you know, it shouldn't matter.
Make you happier.
But the invasion just is going to continue. Did you notice down in Florida, all the parents that they talked to from that shooting,
they all talked with a New York accent.
Yeah, that sounds like a Florida accent to me. That's the problem. These people move to get away from these liberal Democrat politics, and they move and they take their politics with them.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steve. I get it. And you're going to get it.
Bad interpretation.
Impersonation,
excuse me.
New York accent?
Yeah, he could have done it better.
Yeah.
You know?
Like butter. Mark and Joliet.
Hey, good morning, Dan and Amy. Dan, you've been trying to explain to people for the longest time that they're losing their property in Illinois through taxation. And then this morning, Amy kind of joked about she may want to move out of state. Well, if I were Amy or anybody that works in Illinois and wants to continue working in Illinois, I would move to a place like Wisconsin that has a reciprocating tax agreement with Illinois, as opposed to Indiana, where I actually live, and we used to have one until it went away under then-Governor George Ryan. So basically, I have to pay income taxes in Indiana as a resident, and Illinois, because I work there, and I get whacked pretty good, especially when they raised the tax rates by 66% a half a dozen years ago and another 33% a year ago. So my point to you, Amy, or anybody else, move to Wisconsin and pay, enjoy a reciprocating tax agreement while you still can.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Although Wisconsin has a pretty high combined state and local tax burden, but not as high as Illinois, of course. But here's the thing. It's fun to take these calls the day after the election, and all the calls we're getting are related to strategic advice as to where to live, not Illinois. Interesting. All right, more on this topic. We're pleased to be joined by Peter Roscoe. He was a state legislator before he was a big shot in Congress, and he joins us now. Peter, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Nice to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Morning. So you're a Wheatonian. Get your reaction, your comment on the Republican primary election, starting obviously with the governor's race on our side.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the governor obviously squandered a consolidated effort by being so provocative over the past year or so with these policy initiatives that were just off-putting to a lot of conservatives. And Jeannie Ives gave a very impressive run, essentially ran an insurgency campaign. And you saw that manifest itself in a lot of different areas across the state. So here's the thing that voters are going to have to decide. All across the country in November in House races and just really up and down the ballot. Should Nancy Pelosi, for example, be entrusted with being Speaker of the House again? I think that would be a disaster. Should Mike Madigan be given more authority and so forth up and down the line? And so these are threshold questions that the whole country is dealing with, because this will be nationalized in a way in terms of House races that are going to be competitive this fall. And it just continues to amaze me that people with a straight face can say, oh, the solution in Springfield is let's double down for more. So I think that, there's going to be a lot of interpretation of these numbers over the next days and weeks ahead.
Speaking of competitive House races this fall, I mean, you had like seven candidates vie to face you, this Kelly Mazeski or whatever her name is. Apparently is the winner. And you know they're going to play the boogeyman politics, right, especially in this state, right? Everybody is a shill for Donald Trump. How do you assess your Democrat challenger in your race this fall?
So it looks like it may have been Sean Casten that won.
Oh, really?
And
this is this is a little bit late breaking. So whoever it is, it's interesting. They've all said that they're completely against the tax plan that went through. All right. So that means that they want to take the bonuses back from people. They think those bonuses are a bad idea, or doubling the child tax credit. They're not into that, or the elimination of the alternative minimum tax, which hits 30,000 people in my constituency, or lowering these rates. What's interesting is they're parroting Nancy Pelosi. And so Pelosi called the bill the worst bill ever and Armageddon, and that $1,000 bonus was crumbs and so forth. That's going to be the playbook, I think. And so, I just think that there is a lack of clarity about how the economy actually works, and the notion of cutting taxes and giving people tax relief and regulatory relief and the things that the system district historically has said these are things we value. Those values are now under attack. And here's the thing: I think campaigns where you have two competing views of the world, two competing views of the economy, two competing views of the future and the direction that our country should go, I think those campaigns are incredibly invigorating when they're about ideas and they're not about personalities. And I think that these two ideas are going to be on display. And I think the ascendant view, the invitational view, the view that values growth, is the view that resonates in the 6th District.
Well, as a congressman, I feel like you're always, you know, running for office because of the 2-year terms. But Sean Gaston, he's a Downers Grove businessman who is running on climate change. So are you prepared for that fight?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I am delighted to talk about anything up and down the line as it relates to policies. And I think, yeah, I fought for the restoration of Great Lakes funding, for example, in terms of making sure that the money's there to be cleaned up appropriately and to keep the Great Lakes safe. I fought to bring back $20 million to West Chicago for cleanup. So I think that the 6th District is interested in environmental stewardship. They're interested in a balanced approach to things. They have zero interest, in my view, at least a majority has zero interest in the type of draconian approaches that just hinder economic growth and don't give people opportunities.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the Tribune site, which was allegedly updated at 6:09 this morning. That's about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And they still got Kelly Mazeski up by 260 votes.
So maybe you don't have to worry about climate change.
No, no. What I'm saying is I think we have a whole nother Dewey defeats Truman moment.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Tribune is stepping on themselves again, maybe. Wouldn't that be fun?
Could be. And there were some data problems last night with some of the websites. So
yeah, yeah. All right. Well, so that you're kind of framing your race. Now frame the kind of the national climate that you're going to face that's beyond your control, starting with the president. And why don't we start, because there's been so much action there since Deputy Director Andy McCabe was fired. Everything under the rubric Russian collusion, and with the House Intel Committee basically saying no Trump campaign operatives colluded with Russia, basically saying that. And then this furor around McCabe and Byron York asking a good question. Well, wait, if Manafort and Gates and Flynn didn't collude with Russia, well, then just who exactly did? And can we get to the bottom of this at some point in the not too distant future? How does all of that play out and impact November?
So I don't know how it impacts November. I think the thing to keep in mind is just keep an eye on where the investigation is, where it's going, and what is the fruit of the investigation beyond headlines and churn. So we know that there's practically nothing that can be done that will satisfy the National Democrats right now. There's no point at which they're going to say, you know what, it was looked at, you're right, turn the page. They're just not going to do that. And so I think cooler heads have to look and say, what is actually the fruit of the investigation? And the fruit of the investigation has to manifest itself soon in terms of action and not just churn. And I think there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to be saying, hey, get this done, bring these cases. If there's an allegation of collusion with the campaign, bring it. If not, turn the page.
Are you afraid that all of this Stormy Daniels stuff. Now we've got a Playboy model.
It's the porn star and the playmate, Dan.
Yeah, well, it's not limited to them either. And then you've got that Summer Zervos, whose case is moving forward, a district court essentially rejecting executive immunity in that civil matter of defamation case. I mean, are you worried at all that a bit of the circus-like atmosphere around Trump with some of these individuals and perhaps some of his past behavior, at least alleged behavior, detracts from, you know, kind of all the substantive matters you were just addressing?
Yeah, it's not helpful. You would much rather have the focus be on the issues of the day, great principles that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, and not have it be distracted with all of this other drama. But there's an irony here, and that part of the irony, I think, is a national party, the Democratic Party, that it basically for the past several decades has said presidential misconduct has nothing to do with the capacity to lead, now is sort of marinating in this. But listen, I'm not about to defend, you know, the activity that's being alleged against the president, if true, is troubling. But that said, I mean, the irony is just palpable.
How do you feel about Andrew McCabe being fired 2 days before he was supposed to retire?
Look, I think that, you know, if it was an effort to stick it to him, I don't know enough about the backstory, you know, if there had been some back and forth drama. I just don't know enough about the details to be able to comment well on that.
All right. He is Peter Roskam, congressman from Illinois' 6th. He'll face a
who?
Well, he's going to face somebody, either Mazeski or Kasten.
Right.
They're going to put somebody up, and they're going to come after Peter Roskam. You can bet that in this cycle in this state. So suburbanites better be on notice and rally to help our friend Peter in the general. Peter, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.